Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site.
Bota Snidus.
Kenneth Perland.
Tony Keel. With guest co-host, Fiera Brass.
So, Ken, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Too bad we didn't get everyone together, but good enough.
Modder's sick. We got, you know, he's not going to be on the show today. God knows what he caught over in the Netherlands.
Mm.
Some kind of awful European illness. We Americans have immunities.
Speaking of which, where are you hailing from, David?
I'm in California.
California.
Oh, so we have all Americans this episode of Modcast.
I guess it is. Is it the first one ever, I think?
Yeah, first one ever of all American Modcast.
Mm.
All right. Welcome to Modcast episode 17. Today, we are joined with Kenneth Impaler WRG Ferland.
Howdy.
Me, Tony Garrett-Zakagiel, now with 100% less Wouter, and with special guest co-host David Allen with no nickname.
Not yet.
So wait, David Allen is both his real name and his screen name? Is that it?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, well then he would be David Allen. Allen, right?
David Allen.
That's complicated.
It's not only that, it's confusing. I'm not even sure what's going on now.
The entire fabric of our reality is torn asunder.
Yes. Now, is this the first episode Wouter has missed?
No, he must have missed some before. I can't recall exactly, though.
Well, I haven't missed one yet.
Well, true, because you edit them.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
If you don't show up, then we don't record.
that's a lot of pressure, bro. That's a lot of pressure.
The pressure.
Today we talked about the B-47 by Ozio, the Mongolian, and a bunch of other units done by Backwell, and the Polycarpov I-15 by Dutch King.
And today in the code corner, we looked at the Super Spies mod version 1.23 by Trojan Sheep. And today in the modder's spotlight, we look at the Mad Max mod, aka Fury Road, by David Allen.
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community.
We have a little bit of artwork today by Ozio, and it is the B-47 Stratojet, which I'm assuming is some kind of Cold War delight, and it looks like it.
Yeah, it looks like an early jet bomber.
Yeah.
Very B-52-ish. I don't know what the difference between a B-52 and a B-47 is.
Well, maybe this one came before the B-52.
You would think that because its number is lower, but you never know with the military.
Well, the B-1, the B-2 are the lowest numbers, but they're the really advanced. Oh, I say this one was introduced in 1951 and was retired in one of the variants in 66 and another one on 77. And they built 2,000 of them, and they cost $1.9 million. That's kind of cheap, but that's old school money, I guess.
Yeah, that's not inflation adjusted at all, I'm sure.
Yeah, $1.9 million, I have a jet bomber.
Yeah, that's what like a one missile costs nowadays.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's adjusted, but it's yet another nice air unit. I could see people using this in a Cold War type mod where it would be period appropriate, since it does sound like they were only made in a rather narrow period right after the World War One. It's kind of early Cold War. I wonder, has anyone made a good Cold War mod like that?
That's what I was just thinking, Cold War mod. I remember the Cold War mod for Civ 3 was a lot of fun. In fact, I think it was the last mod I played for Civ 3. It was a sweet, juicy Cold War mod.
Yeah, I could see it be kind of a little bit like balance of power, you know? The objects, like, I push them, they push me, you know? Influence around the world, puppet states, try not to nuke the world or else everyone loses. Could be pretty slick.
Yeah, I think so. And we also have a whole slew of units from Backwell.
These are some nice units.
Yeah, he released a whole crap load of them. And the first one, I believe I mentioned, was Mongolians. And they look like they've got awesome Mongolian armor. And he's got a guy with a Naginata-looking thing. And
yeah, I like the hair and the... What's a Naginata?
Naginata is a a spear with a twisty sword at the end.
Oh, okay, one of those things.
Yeah, a little vicious thing. And he's got a Ethiopian industrial age unit, so they got the Ethiopians with cannons and little pop guns and grenade throwers.
Yeah, I like the very different uniforms he's got.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of units you see are just like, okay, it's the exact same guy, but you just gave him a cannon or a gun or a grenade. These look really diverse.
Yeah, they all look the same ethnicity, but they have widely different uniforms, and I believe we've criticized some people for the clone syndrome, or whatever we'll call it.
Yes.
Clones is a whole different set of mods.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the Rifleman's even got, like, a little ceremonial curved sword there on the side. Little touches like that. Very nice.
Oh, the Aztec Age units, they really remind me, one of them reminds me of medieval Total War Kingdoms, and because you can play the Aztecs in that game, and these look freaking awesome. They remind me so much of that game. Have you played Total War Kingdoms?
No, not myself, but which unit is it that reminds you?
The one in the chariot reminds me, and the one on the horse reminds me of it. Especially the one on the horse with the panther head mask coming over.
Oh, yeah, that's really nice. That reminds me very much of the one that was released in BTS, the Mesoamerican type knight. It was kind of the mounted knight like that.
Nice.
And they've made it a little more Incan specifically rather than just Mesoamerican in general, which is nice.
And I love the Aztecs. They have those weird swords they carry that are like a big piece of wood with little bits of obsidian down the edges.
Oh, yes, the obsidian sword. I think that there's an obsidian spear-looking thing.
Yeah, that
too.
Is.
Look on the spearman.
That would hurt.
And the stone axe for the, I assume that's the warrior, or is it the scout? I'm not sure, but it's a nice stone-looking weapon there with a stone head.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I don't know if they had crossbows back then, though. They got one guy with a crossbow.
I don't think the crossbow was ever developed in the New World, so...
They had bows, though, right? They must have had bows.
Oh, of course. But the crossbow wasn't developed in the New World as far as I know.
The crossbow would probably have changed the Mesoamerican development of history if they had invented it, changed the way warfare would be.
Certainly.
We got the Iraqi Republican Guard in this slew of units. They look pretty good.
Yeah.
You got the little guy with the Stalin mustache and the beret with the AK-47.
No. When you're in Iraq, it's not the Stalin mustache.
You know
whose mustache
Saddam.
It is. It is our glorious leader, Saddam's mustache. All must wear mustaches.
He definitely does have a Saddam mustache. And we have one more piece of artwork, and I'm going to try to say it. Polycarpov I-15 by my pal, Dutch King, and... This one looks like, what is that, World War II?
It's a biplane, but it's a more advanced, it's not a World War I era biplane. I think this is an interwar plane, so between the two wars.
Russia, I think,
and,
the Soviet.
What country?
But I bet you they used them in World War II, because the Soviets were broke as shit during that war.
Yeah, typically. I'll make allowances for that being Russian shit. It could just be World War II, and they were just... You know, 20 years behind technologically everyone else.
In the first post, there's a little history. I guess it was used mostly during the Spanish Civil War.
Really?
Which is around the same time frame, but it is Russian. I mean, at least according to the Wikipedia quote.
Hmm. So these were used to fight Franco's forces because the Russians supported the other side in the Spanish Civil War?
No, everyone fought against the anarchists. The nationalists and the capitalists and the communists all fought the anarchists together. What's one thing they can all agree on? They hate anarchists.
Hmm.
And there's a good mod for the Spanish Civil War.
It's like the anarchists were so well organized that it took like everyone else to beat them. It's like, shouldn't they be like disorganized?
Pretty fucking much. And it's funny because the Civil War they had to make a deal with the anarchists because all the farmers and the mine workers and everyone joined them. So capitalists had to make a bargain and trade food with the anarchists during the Civil War. And then, of course, once the harvest was done, then they all wiped him out. Okay, your job's done. We're going to kill you now.
Okay, but it's pretty slick. It's got the propeller animations, the shadowing effect there. I think the skin could use a little bit more work. I mean, you see a little bit of, like, the line effect. I don't know if that's on purpose, but That's a little odd.
Hey, he probably needs to turn on anti-aliasing on his computer. Maybe.
Yeah, like, is that screenshot with all the little lines on it, is that like his monitor breaking down? Because my monitor at work does that.
No, those little yellow lines are probably the lighter range area thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But, yeah, the texture, maybe, the only thing I can say is I don't like the way the lines are on the texture, the little lines, but I think that might be just the way his monitor was set up when he took the screenshot. But it's a neat little plane. It looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think I remember fighting these things when I played Panzer General.
That's old school style, Ken. You played Panzer General?
Yeah, well, I like my old school game.
We're going to party like it's 1993.
Yeah, you guys, we did just make a remake of a game that's 12 years old, you know?
Yeah.
Over here, you know?
Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods.
Okay. And today in the Code Corner, we're going to look at the Super Spies mod version 1.23 by Trojan Sheep. Okay, this little mod is a whole set of promotions, for your spy unit, the great spy unit you can get in BTS. He's got effects that will increase the spy's movement, allow them to avoid being caught, allow them to avoid revealing your national identity when they're caught. That's the little cyanide capsule they take.
Yeah.
makes them better at certain mission types, like City Revolt.
Or Alchemist for poison water mission.
Yeah. The Alchemist for poison water. Okay. Allows them to a chance to escape and evade being caught when a mission is foiled, etc.
Ooh, a new mission.
A new mission. Yes, I was just getting to that.
Oh!
Okay, Tony, you can tell them about the mission.
Oh, the new mission is so freaking awesome. It's called Assassination. And if your spy is sneaking up on an enemy that has no one with it, and it's all by itself, you can kill it.
Mm. So, does that apply to all units, or just great people type units? Is that what this is?
I think it's any unit that finds itself alone, regardless of whose territory it is in. That's what it says here.
I want to assassinate that fighter aircraft.
Ah.
Yeah, because when I hear assassination, it's like, oh, you mean I'm assassinating other people's leaders? They're great people.
Yeah, that's interesting. But I don't, great people aren't that easy to come across either, you know. I think it would be more limited if it was just great people.
Yeah, well, it's similar to what they did with Civ Rev, you know, which is like, I think your spies steal other people's great people, and then you're yours, which is like,
well, we're not talking about Civ Rev, because Civ Rev is not exactly moddable.
True, but I'm just saying that the design went in a somewhat similar direction.
That's true.
Just to see where it went, you know.
One of the other games I played a few years back was had an interesting idea of promotion. An army could only move if it had a leader. So what you could do is, if there was an enemy army coming towards you, you could send a spy or an assassin to kill the leader, and the army would still sit there. It could defend, but it couldn't go anywhere more until the owner brought up a new leader to send it on its way.
So you had to, like, make leaders as a separate unit. I guess when you made an army, it came with a leader, probably. But then you could, like, say, oh, I need a replacement leader. Make one and then send it out and fuse it with that army.
And you could, right. So you could have, if you wanted to split an army in two, you know, if you had a big stack and you wanted to split it in two, you had to make sure you had enough leaders to be able to split it. So
added
an element.
That sounds pretty interesting.
So maybe if it was a military unit, maybe just making it motionless for a while might be better than saying, you know, here's the one assassin who's going to wipe out that infantry brigade.
Yeah, that's a little bit better. I could see that working. Or maybe, like, temporarily just lower their stats. I mean, so that, like, they take half damage, so they're easier, like, they're disorganized now or something. And if I was to attack now, I would take advantage of the chaos I had sown, and they would be wiped out more easily. But you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it multiple times. You couldn't just, I assassinated them twice and now they're dead.
Oh.
That'd
speaking
be dumb.
Of this mod, though, there's another promotion that called Escape Artist that allows a chance for the spy to escape once they've been captured. You can get the spy back even if they got captured.
No, if they've been foiled. So it's like first the mission is foiled, and then there's a role for capturing the spy after that.
And this helps with it.
The second role. It doesn't help the first role.
Well, they have something else that helps the first role. But this is spies, I've used them, but I think this really helps spies be more interesting, more fun. Unfortunately, aren't we up to 3.17 Because it says 3.13.
What version?
Yeah.
Save it for? He has updated.
All right, Trojan Sheep.
Later in the thread.
Trojan Sheep, update your mod. It looks fun.
Page 9, actually, of the thread. I guess the mod started in January, it looks like. Page 9 is from July, and it looks like they're in the process of updating it to 3.17.
Get to work.
Excellent.
Get to work and update. Yay!
Modding Spotlight, where we discuss and examine a particular mod out of the Civ 4 community.
So, David, you said you're from California, and how long have you been going to the Civ websites for modding? How long have you been interested in modding?
So I guess I came to Civilization pretty late, or at least I came to Civ 4 pretty late. I played some of the earlier Civ games a long time ago, but I picked up Civ 4, I think, in January or February of this year. And then, I played it for a while and then started looking around to see what people were doing with it. And I think I discovered Civ Fanatics around April. So I learned how to do some basic stuff and then got this idea to do a mod. So I started posting sometime in May, I guess, probably was my first post.
And if, for those who don't know already, we've covered David's mod before in the upcoming modders segment, where he's done the Mad Max Fury Road mod, is that right?
Yeah, I guess Fury Road is a name that was sort of associated with what would have been Mad Max 4. They never made a fourth movie, but that's apparently the title that they would have used. There's rumors about it from like 6 or 8 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so Fury Road is just a name that I came up with. I guess it's primarily inspired by the Mad Max movies as well as the Fallout games. Those are the two main inspirations.
Yeah, I always thought the title was super cool, the Fury Road
thing. I can't claim too much credit for picking it. All I really did was find it.
Yes. Now I've lost all faith in it.
You know what's really fun about his mod?
I am so disillusioned.
Ken, have you played it yet, the Mad Max mod?
Oh, no. I haven't played a mod at all.
You actually should, because what's cool about it is when you play it, you build your first city, but as you explore the map, it's just teeming with radioactive monsters and fallout. But then there's also roads that are there from the previous civilization that are all destroyed. There's, like, ruins and old roads out in the middle of the wilderness. It's really cool. And I think I noticed that radioactive areas spawn monsters, so is that true?
There's a few kind of wild animals around, like wolves and things like that. But there are a couple of, I call them radioactive monsters, like giant spiders and things like that. And those
red scorpions.
Yeah, I wish red scorpions is from Fallout. I wish I had a cool unit art for that. It just uses the panther art. But red scorpions and giant spiders and a couple of other things spawn inside Fallout. So since there's no, in this mod, there's no good way to get rid of Fallout, that can be kind of a challenge.
Well, I know. I built a city right next to it once, and then all of a sudden I'm getting ransacked by turn after turn of monsters. And it's really cool because the tech tree, like, it starts with some basic technologies, but pretty quickly you can get a guy with a shotgun, you can get a little jeep, and you can explore all over the place. And I think there's also you use fuel, and you have, like, the Mad Max gas tankers. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, one of the key ideas, actually, I guess, the first key idea was to do something with limited fuel. So there's a few different threads where people have talked about doing that. There's a qualitative resources thread, and there are some other places where people have done it. You know, it was kind of the key idea of the Road Warrior movie. You know, they're fighting over this tanker, either the last tanker in existence.
Yeah.
One of the other artists, Azio, made a pretty cool tanker unit. So that's one of the key things that you do, is you have to produce fuel and then make sure that all of your jeeps and tanks and stuff like that don't run out of fuel.
And speaking of Azio, but there's a lot of artwork from him and some of the other, like, really primary graphics artists in the Civ community who've contributed a whole crap load of awesome artwork to this project.
Yeah, I think, so. I'm not sure how to say it, Cesare?
Yeah.
And Refar, I think, have contributed quite a lot of units. Azio did the tanker. Tony, you did a unit also. I used it as a hero unit, guy with a shotgun. But
I got to fix that one.
Well, just so long as he doesn't die, he's fine. But I guess one of the key things is that once I came out with something that was playable in probably late May or early June, then I guess I feel like I got really lucky and people were interested and maybe had some time available to make the first few units. So there's probably about 10 or 12 new unit arts that were made for this mod, and I think it was really helpful. The first version I did had chariots and some stuff like that, and it's like, what are chariots doing in a post-apocalyptic mod? But that was the best art that I had.
Yeah. But now you got some great artwork, and I'm assuming you do the SDK work yourself, right?
Yes. So it's all XML and Python. Until last week, actually, I'd never put in any SDK changes. Actually, I still haven't. There's another guy, Jekyll, who has done an SDK mod that I'm using, so that's the first time I'm using it. But almost all the work is Python.
Really? That's pretty awesome.
So are you just importing his DLL?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, this mod is a blast. It's worth trying, definitely. So, David, you say you live in California. What do you do in that real-life thing that we all try to ignore?
Well, I've been a computer programmer for about 20 years.
Wow.
I'm 40-something. Sounds older when I say it out loud.
Well, it's okay. You can't help it.
This is the first sort of actual game programming that I've done. But I work in electronic design automation, basically programs for people who design computer chips. So the programming part of this was, all stuff that I've done before, so that was an advantage.
Sweet. So where do you work with all this programming skills, bro? Like, what do you do?
In Silicon Valley.
Ooh.
So the company that I work for is a little startup no one's ever heard of, probably called Atrenta. But our customers are like Intel and companies like that who design computer chips.
Wow. That's pretty awesome, bro. And now you're a Civ modder as well as a computer programmer.
Yeah, so I'll add that onto my resume.
Yeah, exactly. I would if I had a resume. I'd also put podcaster on my resume.
Yeah, there you go.
You have to have an iPod to listen to it. Or a computer. You have to have a computer to play his mod. Now, Ken, think of something clever to ask him.
But you've already asked all the obvious questions. The only things left are embarrassing personal questions.
Dude, let's do it.
Yeah. Well, tell us more about your interest in just the Fallout games and the Mad Max movie series. Have you been always loved those movies? Is it your favorite movie of all time?
So I guess I have, you know, a bunch of favorite post-apocalyptic movies, I guess. Road Warrior is certainly one. I was, I was in college when the movie came out, and it seemed like a really cool idea. Some of the other ones are Terminator. I hope someday I'll work Terminator stuff into this mod post-apocalyptic style.
Get some exoskeleton.
Yeah, maybe
Terminators. Sweet.
And then, I guess...
Giant death robots.
Fallout and Fallout 2, I guess, were some of the main games that I played, you know, at college and high school kind of thing. I'm looking forward to Fallout 3 if it comes out. I guess it's supposed to come out next quarter or something like that.
Oh, yeah, Fallout 3. Everyone is waiting.
So we'll see what happens in terms of modding that.
Well, you know, Fallout 3 is on the same engine as Civ 4.
Is it?
The Gamebryo engine, yeah.
Huh.
So I guess
so is Oblivion. Well, Fallout's based on Oblivion, and Oblivion uses the Gamebryo engine.
Okay, so I guess I haven't gotten that much into the engine. I mean, is it going to use the same kind of NIF files and things like that?
Yeah, it uses those things and stuff, but it's obviously some of the tools that I use for graphics also work for that engine too.
Yeah, so this will mostly be just for graphics compatibility. I'm talking like the Python, the DLL, all that will be completely different. So it's really just those files.
Well, NIF's Gamebryo engine is pretty popular.
Apparently.
Yeah, so I guess it'll be interesting to see. There's stuff like, I've played role-playing games a little bit. I've played Oblivion a little bit. But it'll be interesting to see how moddable Fallout 3 is in terms of creating new adventures and things like that. I think there's a lot of people could do with that.
Well, it all depends on Bethesda, because they released the Elder Scrolls Construction Kit with their games. So we'll see if they release that for the Fallout Construction Kit. Let's see how stingy they're going to be.
Yeah, one of the things that I liked about Civ 4 modding is that the Python interface is pretty complete. You know, just about any kind of thing that you want to do, you can do using Python. You don't have to get into the SDK.
Yeah, Ken knows about making interfaces.
Well, I would say that there are a lot of things which are way better to implement in C, and also AI support will always require C because of the way Civilization 4 is made. If they had coded certain AI routines to be exposed to Python, then conceivably you could, say, have the AI know what this thing is and have it use it properly. But 90% of the time, if you put in effects and things through Python, the AI is completely unaware of them. It's like just magic, you know, to them, because it's all happening on another layer that it can't see.
Well, so I guess there are a couple of mods, like Final Frontier, that have done a fair amount of AI in Python. I've learned a little bit about what the hooks are. And I guess there are some tricks you can do. I guess if there's a unit, if you've added a new unit that has kind of a very special purpose, then you can write AI that will handle that. So my fuel tanker, for example, has some AI. The fuel tanker is something that all it really has to do is find on the map if there are any units that are out of fuel or almost out of fuel and get over there. So it's Python AI, but the AI itself doesn't know anything about the fuel tanker. So if we were trying to do a thing where a warrior, say, a standard unit, could either be used for this purpose or some other purpose, then my AI would have to be integrated with the C-level AI. But I guess for the fuel tanker as a new unit, it's something that you can do completely in Python.
So it just overrides the normal, you know, the CAI is telling, hey, move here, and you're like, oh, no, yank, move there.
Well, yeah, I mean, so there are Python routines that, I guess the way a lot of the Python routines work, it's called every time the unit moves, and then the routine can either return true or false. True means I did something, and false means I didn't do anything. The C-level API should do something.
Interesting.
So with the fuel tanker, it's easy enough. The fuel tanker AI that I wrote always returns true. It always does something. But there are other examples. Like I've recently added something that the mutant animals, like the giant spiders, will occasionally eat your farmers. You know, they can pillage.
Oh, shit.
That's an improvement. people were saying that it felt too safe, you know, that you're supposed to get your civilization not quite wiped out, but maybe almost wiped out. So animals can now pillage farms, villages, and also pastures. And that AI works kind of the same way. That's also in Python. It has like a 50% chance to move towards one of these improvements and then pillage. Otherwise, then my AI just returns false, and the game AI does whatever it was going to do with the animal.
I will ask a question for Wilder, since he's not here, but I'll have to do it in his accent. Now, Tony, you be quiet. Now, when is the latest version going to be ready?
That's the type of very relevant question that Wilder likes to ask.
Yeah, he does ask very relevant questions. Shut up, Tony.
So the previous version, version 8, was released, I think, 3 weeks ago. Actually, so I mentioned I started releasing versions in May. I did, I think, a version every couple of weeks in May, June, and July. I've slowed down a little bit. Actually, probably in the next week or so, I'll release the next one, version 9.
And is that going to include the Python changes?
That has a bunch of stuff in it. I was just talking about the animals that eat your, that pillage your farms and things like that. That will be in version 9. There's some other stuff, so probably in the next week or so I'll release that.
Sweet. Sweet. So how much graphics do you have left for those artists who might be listening and wanting to help out? How many graphics do you have left to do?
Well, so there's stuff I need, and there's stuff I want. There's a lot of stuff that I want. You know, you mentioned a little while ago about the Rad Scorp. It's basically a huge mutant scorpion.
Yeah, we definitely need
a scorpion.
It would
be really cool if somebody did that. But, you know, I talked about that a little bit with Refar and some of the other guys, and they said, you know, that sounds pretty hard.
Well, I know there's a few people in our community that can, who have the ability to do that, but most of them work for Kale.
Yeah, so, I mean, I borrowed the giant spider. I think it originally came from Fall from Heaven.
Yeah.
And there's a couple other things. But there's a few, actually, I have a unit request post in my main thread at the Fury Road sub-forum. It's pretty easy to find, and I keep that up to date. But there's some things like, a few units that haven't been updated. I mean, I have something, like I have a standard fort building that you can build. And there's the castle is used in the model, so those look medieval. They don't really fit in. There are a couple of buildings like that that would be helpful to have.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, you know, if you look hard enough, you might find some artwork in the CFC database for that. There's a whole crap load of artwork in there that I sometimes just browse through for my mod too.
Yeah, I've browsed through there a little bit, and actually a couple people have recently posted in the Fury Road subforum about other things that they found. I've taken a few of them. Like there's a city hall unit or building and a capital building and a few other ones. Most of them seem to be by Ezio. So I've used those. And I think I've looked through the art in Fall from Heaven and some of the other mods to see if there's anything else I can borrow. So there might be. You know, it's probably worthwhile to look again.
Yeah, well, you keep checking it up.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys played Fallout, but there's one of the things in Fallout that you see as you're walking along is there are mutant cows.
Yeah.
They're actually two-headed cows.
Yeah.
And in the Fallout world, it's supposed to be unusual if you ever see a one-headed cow. So one of the first units
the
that was made
cow.
Was a two-headed cow. Refar made it. It's called Brahmin.
Sweet touches to the game. When I saw those two-headed cows, I cracked up. I was like, yes, he put in the two-headed cows.
So that was, I guess, Refar made that unit in maybe late May or June. And one of the other people who came to the forum just in the last couple of weeks went actually combing through the unit database, like you were suggesting, to go and find stuff. And he said, hey, you know what? You guys should really use this two-headed cow. So a couple people wrote and said, hey, you know, zoom in on the cows in the game, and you'll see they're already there. So that's, you're right, that is kind of a cute touch.
That's awesome. The gameplay is pretty fun, though. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed exploring the map. But this is what brings me to my one criticism of the mod, and that is,
no, you are not allowed to criticize.
I am going to criticize his mod constructively. I'm not going to berate him. Okay, maybe I'll berate him a little bit.
Isn't that what we've been doing all modcast?
Yeah. But usually you're the one who does most of the berating. Sometimes Wouter. I'm usually nice. But since Wouter's not here, I'll say it in his accent. It sounds like Wouter. When are you going to improve your map script?
One of the things that I wanted to do with the map script is since Road Warrior in particular is set kind of in Australia with a lot of desert and no Navy component, really. It's all on land. One of the things that I did was I used a map script that only generates Pangaeas, you know, single continents. So that was one of the things that I wanted to do. And actually, I have, maybe someday if I have a chance, I'll be able to, I have an idea for what happens when you visit other continents. You would learn a lot about what actually caused all of this fallout to appear all over the map, would actually cause the nuclear disaster.
Oh, some storyline. That's a strong element to include. That's kind of cool.
Right. So for right now, I wanted to keep people on one continent. So it's Pangaea, you know, that sort of thing. Even if you play a huge map, it's still all one continent. So what sorts of things do you think would be worthwhile to add, given that I want to keep it on one continent?
Well, if you are doing the two continent thing, the Terra script is pretty nice for that, but that's the only thing I had is when I would check out the map, it was generally the same shape every time, with a big blob of land and one continent. But if you're going to add story elements to, like, finding out of why the apocalypse happened on another continent, that would be really cool. And you could even set it up so the other continent is completely populated with ruins. That would be cool too.
Yeah, well, I don't want to give away too much, but
okay.
Hopefully it would be a good plot twist.
I said possibly some areas that survived as well.
Oh.
I mean, that were less damaged.
You mean like a civilization, like a...
Well, maybe like the Amazon rainforest wasn't totally nuked because no one cared about it. So if you find it, it's like, oh, it's not a desert and it's not nuked, thus it's better than Australia.
Yeah, that's true. One of the interesting things about this mod is I stepped up the amount of desert and stepped way down the amount of grasslands and jungle and stuff. So it's actually pretty challenging to get enough food to expand really well. But it definitely feels like it's in a desert. At least that's what I was aiming to do.
Sweet. Well, I just love the fallout everywhere. That's awesome. It generates fallout in this map script. Generates ruins. It's a lot of fun. Now
I have berating.
Okay, go berate him. Tell him what
it's pronounced. Pangea.
Is it really pronounced Pangea? Because that's what I thought it was.
Pangea. Yes.
All right.
Not Pangea. That would be the all gayness.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is that like a gay bar name or something?
What do you call that that red fruit that people eat? You know, the one that they make ketchup out of.
Oh, tomatoes. Or
tomatoes. Tomato or tomato, I guess it's optional. But Pangea is the only correct pronunciation.
Well, I'll go look that up afterwards.
And he is okay. He works for Firaxis.
And I know I studied geology, so there.
And he works for Firaxis, so whatever he says must be true.
Oh yes. And as for who destroyed the world, me and Tony would have some good suggestions for a certain shrubbery-based leader here in the
West. you could use him as the leaderhead for the civilization that's still remaining, George Bush clinging to power.
No, I think he would completely destroy whatever civilization he was part of.
Well, maybe
you could ultimately assign all the blame for nuking the world there. You know?
No, he'd have warriors with clubs with night vision goggles.
one of the first posts that came on the sub forum was from a guy, Jabby, I guess his name is, his screen name. And he listed, you know, 10 different things, 10 different causes of what might have caused the apocalypse. And one of his guesses actually turns out to be right. I didn't say which one. But there are a couple of posts on there where people have kind of tried to guess what would be the cause for this particular apocalypse. Yeah.
So you made a new cause for your apocalypse that's completely separate from what's in the movies and the games?
Well, so, as a player, the only thing you know is that all the cities are ruined and there's fallout all over the place. You know, I guess the idea is the leaders in the game, not all of them have detailed backgrounds yet, but the ones that do just happen to be, you know, by luck, they were in a bunker or some other secure place when the missiles hit. And that's what they're trying to build back from. So the people who are the leaders and the people in the game really don't have any idea why all the missiles went off. They were never able to find out.
And they just search for and try to figure out. Is it like a puzzle you go through in the course of the game as to discover?
No, isn't. That's not really an element in the game yet. It's just with the idea that I have in mind, there would be some units that would start to show up in the late game that would, sort of clue you in as to what actually happened, why this apocalypse happened. But in the beginning, the main part of the game is just, try not to get your farmers eaten by the giant spiders.
That's a difficult task, because the spiders are pretty vicious in this game.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is that the beginning warrior that you start out with has about half the strength of the typical animals that you find, so they always get chomped.
that sounds pretty brutal.
Now I want to ask you, I don't recall there being very much in the way of events for this mod. Since it's BTS, are you going to be creating custom events?
So one of the early things that I did when I started making the mod was I cut out a lot of things. Actually, in the first version, I'd cut out civics and I'd cut out a whole bunch of stuff just so that I could focus on the particular things that I thought that I needed for the mod. So I've added back most of them, but events I haven't added back. Actually, there's a thread on the forum where people have given, you know, probably 30 or 40 different ideas for events.
Sweet!
Either using some of the existing events. A lot of the existing events don't really apply to a post-apocalypse kind of thing, but some of them do. And there has been suggested probably 20 or 30 other events. That's on my list to do someday. I guess as a player, I tend to focus more on, you know, having good strategy and good tactics and things like that. And random good luck or bad luck events, to me, kind of get in the way.
Well, that's the whole point.
I know a lot of people really like them.
Events are there to throw a wrench into your works or perhaps help you out in an unexpected way. But, a lot of the events in Civ 4 BTS could probably just be easily converted by changing the units that get affected and changing the flavor text that's spit out when the event occurs.
Yeah, I agree. And, it's something that there's a few things that I particularly still want to do, and that's one of them. It happens to be that's something that wouldn't involve interaction with the rest of the code, the rest of the mod code. So that could easily be a mod, if you want to think about it that way.
Yeah, well,
I tend to think of mod as events, random events, as kind of like icing on the cake. It's,
yeah.
You can't just eat a pile of icing, but, well, I guess you could, but it's a little too sweet. But it's something that really only is good on top of a finished working product that stands on its own already, and then they add flavor on top of that and just kind of spice it up a bit.
You are making me freaking hungry, dude. All this talk of icing on cake. Oh, man. I want a piece of cake.
So one of the there are still a few things that I'm looking to finish up, and one of the big ones actually is Leaderheads. I think when you guys talked about Fury Road on the upcoming section of the modcast, maybe it was two casts ago, something like that, there was a little discussion about this, and we've done some improvements, but I've been trying to use all 3D Leaderheads, you know, animated full-up Leaderheads, and there aren't very many post-apocalyptic ones.
No.
Indeed.
And there's a lot of medieval ones and ancient ones and things like
Leaderhead
that.
Leaderhead work is challenging, too.
So I've been able to... actually, I've got two sort of, one brand new and one big reskin of some of the existing Leaderheads. So I've got a couple that look pretty post-apocalyptic now.
Sweet.
But I was able to take a whole bunch of background artwork and put it into the Leaderheads. So that's definitely one area where I'd like to finish. I'd like to do more. Unfortunately, it's not something I can do myself to put in... more post-apocalyptic looking Leaderheads. I guess there are a couple people who started work on some of them, and I've got two that are in now.
Sweet.
But it'd be really cool to have more.
All I've got to say to the listeners is download this mod, and all I've got to say to all the contributors at the forum, let's get this post-apocalyptic mod done, because no one else was able to do it except for this guy. And it's almost done, so let's finish it. That's what I was...
Yeah, this guy whose name we forgot.
This guy, David Allen Allen. He's the man.
There you go. Maybe I should come up with a cooler screen handle so that it's not quite cumbersome, quite as cumbersome to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, and also, you know, using your real name on the internet just creeps me out.
Well,
yeah,
that is weird. What's wrong with you, dude? Why are you so weird?
Yeah, so why are you guys all hiding behind fake names? Are you embarrassed about what you're doing?
No, we just worry about this thing called identity theft, but that's just me.
Hey, you know, if somebody else wants to steal my identity and update some new Leaderheads, that's fine.
And with buy me. A new car while we're at it.
yeah, that would be a problem.
And how do we know it's really his real name?
Yeah, that's true. You could change the forum name to Mel Gibson.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to do in the game, actually, is not have any specific copyrighted reference. So I don't have a unit called Thunderdome. I have a unit called Thunderbowl. It doesn't actually refer to Mad Max in the game itself. It just refers to Fury.
Watch out. They'll stab you for copyrights.
Yeah.
They'll get you.
Yeah, maybe.
Or it could refer to Enraged Bob. I don't know. Oh, also, my screen name is meant to strike fear into the hearts of my enemies.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email us at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series official website at polycast.apolitan.net.
Here we are at the end of the show. We've had so much fun, and the time just flew by, and we now have to go to our crappy mundane lives, not modding Civ, staring at a blank...
Well, speak for yourself.
Well, I'm just going to stare at a blank screen for a few hours.
I'm going to play more Dwarf Fortress. Woo-hoo!
I still don't get that game.
I'm actually modding it, too.
I believe it. I just still... You are smarter than me because of that game.
I actually checked the forum, and someone, like, created a post. It's like, hey, how many other people here are programmers? And, like, everyone was a programmer.
Oh, now I get it. Now I get it. Great.
And it's like, oh, yeah, I've been programming for 6 years. You know, it's like, okay, so it's like the game apparently attracts nothing but programmers because it's so freaking complicated and yet nonlinear and, you know, kind of the way everything combines, it's very much that kind of mindset.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
Yeah, but we've had fun. Thank you, Dave, for coming on the show. I hope you had fun.
Sure, it was interesting.
All right. Today, we have been joined with Ken, Impaler WRG Ferlin.
Farewell.
Me, Tony Garrett, Zach Akeel. Goodbye. And with special guest co-host, David Allen. Allen.
Okay, thanks for coming.
All right, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye. Record date, August 17, 2008. Sound clips copyright Civilization IV and the Warlords of Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2008, Politan Civilization site at politan.net.